I feel this powerful passion to share this message about how God is releasing generational blessings and how God's healing generations and how God's awakening what he has for every generation from the oldest to the youngest. My title today is Crisscrossed, and we'll be reading from the book of Genesis chapter 48. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture here just for a couple minutes, but I have to give you the whole context of what's going to happen. Genesis 48 verse 1, it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, Joseph, your father is sick. So Joseph took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on his bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you and make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring whom you begat after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, when I came from Paddan, and Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, I buried her on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And he said, please bring them to me that I may bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so they could not see. Then Joseph brought them to him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God also has shown me your offspring. So Joseph brought them to Israel, and beside his bed, they bended their knees, and he bowed down to the earth, his face to the earth. Joseph took both of them, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near to him. So Manasseh would have Jacob's right hand on his head, and Ephraim, Jacob's left hand. It was important because the hands meant authority. The right hand was double portion. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's hand. He crossed his hands over, who was the younger of the two, and put his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding it knowingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who had fed me all the days of my life to this day, the angel of the Lord who redeemed me from evil, bless these two lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now Joseph, when he saw that his father had laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But Jacob refused and said, I know, son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he shall become great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel may bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said to Jacob, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given you one portion above your brethren, which I took from the land of the Amorite with the sword, with my sword and bow. This beautiful story about the reconciliation, Joseph now reintroduced and reengaged in a beautiful relationship with his father. They'd been severed for 13 years, over 13 years actually. their hearts, both of them broken, and now they're back together. And we want to talk about what this means to us. Thank you, Father, for anointing your word and your servant and your people. I pray that revelation just pours into your heart today, because no matter where you are in generational standing, middle-aged, young, or old, there is a generational truth, revelation, and blessing that God has prepared for your life now. My first point is this. The assignment of an older generation isn't complete until they blessed and empowered the next generations. So the old man was in bed, and Joseph said, "You can't die yet. You have to bless my life and bless your grandchildren, Manasseh and Ephraim." This is a massively important point, because we can become, the older we get, and there's so many kind of psychological and physical and financial, and all the status of our life begins to change. And it becomes, we have to be more intentional about the treatment of younger people. We have to be more intentional in our determination to leave behind blessings. So that promise to us is so real. And so Psalm 71 says it like this. "Now when I'm old," David speaking about what his life would be like as an older man, "when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone that is to come." And so the older generation is called by God to empower, to release the testimony of God's faithfulness to the young generation, to pass the baton of grace, of truth. And there, so there needs to be an equipping, an engaging, an empowering in the baby boomers to millennials and Generation X and Generation Z and Y, and all the generations behind us, that we're not just to exit quietly and be absorbed with our own life and needs and circumstances, but we have an assignment to bless the generations behind us. And conversely, that means that God, in young people's life, there is an inheritance for you to receive. Honoring your fathers, spiritual and natural, allows you to receive the inheritance of your fathers. So when we honor something, we receive from it what God has put into it. And when we honor our fathers, we receive the inheritance that God has entrusted them to release to the next generations. That's a big and very important point, because especially in the States here, we're not always good about generational honoring. There's almost often warring between generations as if we're disconnected. But God says, "I've anointed the old generation to pass on a blessing, to lay their hands on, to pass on spiritual, natural, emotional, relational, financial blessings to the generations behind them." Psalm 78 says, "We will not hide your works from our children. We will tell them to the generation to come. We will speak of the praises of God to them, the strength and wonderful works that God has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. And he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they would arise and declare them to the earth." This is an important point when it comes to revival and moves of God. Any move of God, any kind of momentum event that's going to have generational impact has to make it to the third generation. So God said what he described himself, "I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob." And by the time it reached Jacob, because of the transference of grace, anointing, and inheritance, it not only didn't diminish, it increased. So Jacob took his family inheritance and gave birth to a nation, 12 tribes, through his story and his life. So God wants us to have that same kind of generational aspect of blessing. God's anointed us for it. Psalm 89 says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations, to the youngest, to the oldest." May God make us instruments of generational blessing. Fathers and mothers, here on Mother's Day, it's never too late to bless your children. It's never too late to pray for, to speak blessings, to release blessings into their life. It's never too late to bless your mothers and fathers. An older generation, something happens when we release the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God into our families, into both spiritual fathers and mothers and natural fathers and mothers. Psalm 145 says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, O God. Your dominion endures throughout all generations." Isn't that a beautiful picture? One generation praising your works to another, the younger to the older to the younger, back and forth. It's so important. This is the story of that. My second point today is this. You can't die full. Don't die full. There is healing, strength, and purpose when you take your eyes off of your own pain, problems, and weaknesses and focus your energies on imparting blessing, wisdom, and inheritance to your children, to young people, to others. There's so much power in purpose. Your dream, your destiny, your assignment has the authority to keep you alive when disease and sickness will try to take you prematurely. So here comes Joseph. Joseph comes with his two sons and he comes to visit his ailing father. And when Joseph was on his way there, news came to Jacob, hey, Joseph's coming. And when Jacob, Israel, he had both those names. When he heard of it, the Bible says he strengthened himself and sat up in his bed. He pushed back death. He pushed back disease. Purpose gave him healing. Purpose gave him strength. And his purpose was he was now ailing. He's blind, he's weak, he's ready to go into paradise. He's counting his days down, his hours maybe. But something shifted when Joseph awakened inside of him the unfinished business that Jacob still had. And that was to bless. Your story's not over, my friend. There are all kinds of people God's anointed you to bless, to release healing, strength, and grace to. And it's amazing the function. It's amazing the physical blessings of having a spiritual purpose from God. That dream, that destiny, that purpose will awaken a capacity inside of you to fulfill it by giving you physical strength and stamina, by healing your body when it's hurting or broken, by pushing back death's timelines. And the old man said, I'm not going to die today. I'm going to bless Joseph. I'm going to bless his boys. And he overcame it. And God's going to help you overcome also as you walk with God. He's going to give you that strength and that capacity. Psalm 118 verse 17 says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. You have to say that when you know your business isn't over, when you know your destiny is not done, when you know there are people God's anointed and called you to bless. Well, that healing will flood your soul. It'll come into your body. My third point today is God is healing the breach between generations and he's healing the painful brokenness of everyone in each of those generations. So God's healing generational breaches and then he's healing the people in these generations from generation Z and Y and X and millennials to the baby boomers to the great generation. All of these five or six generations alive on the earth. And God says, I'm going to heal them all. I'm going to heal them all. Something happened. So here's what happened. As the little boys came, Joseph's cute little boys came to visit their grandpa. And as they came into his presence, the spirit of prophecy came upon Jacob. Oh, man, parents, prophesy over your children. Prophesy over your grandchildren. Speak forth what you know God has put in your heart for them. Man, just keep declaring it. No matter where they are, keep prophesying. No matter what they're doing now, keep prophesying what they're supposed to do someday. No matter how bad things look now, keep prophesying how good things are going to be. No matter how strong the devil has a foothold in their life, you prophesy they're going to be great history makers and world shakers for Jesus. And Jacob began to prophesy over these two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh. And he said this, I'm going to make these sons mine. And he literally skipped a generation. So there were, up to this point, he had these other 11 sons. really, he has all these beautiful children. But he said this to them, these two boys are not just my grandsons, they're going to be my sons. And he healed a great generational chasm that had happened in their family when Joseph was betrayed and sent to prison, and actually slavery had all these horrific things happen. And so in that moment, the Spirit of God says, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to father them. I'm going to give them all of my blessing. I'm going to give them all their spiritual inheritance. I'm going to give them what they've missed out on. What their father didn't get, they're going to get. What was stolen from their father, they're going to get. What could have been is going to be in them. And he healed. Man, I just declare this over you. God's going to restore the years to you, my friend. Joel 2:25 says, God said, I will restore the years to you. I will give you back. I will make the years pay you back. And one of the beautiful ways God does that is by healing generational chasms and pain. That's such a great portrait. In Isaiah 58, God gives us great prophecy of the anointing upon his people to heal generational brokenness. Those from among you, Isaiah 58 says, shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of past to dwell in. What a picture. The foundations, what was stolen from one generation, the next generation is anointed to repair. God's anointed you to fix stuff that was broken in your family. God's anointed you to bring back what was stolen from your family. God's anointed you to repair great schisms and divisions and stolen inheritances and broken relationships in your family. You are a repairer of the breach. You are a restorer. God doesn't just call people, he calls families. God doesn't just give a person a purpose, he gives purpose to family. And so when we repair breaches and restore pathways, it means that we find the purpose that God embedded into the DNA of our family and we walk in it, we fulfill it. And I declare that you are the one that's going to break every generational curse and overcome every weapon of the enemy that the enemy has ever conspired and unleashed against your family. You're the curse breaker. You're the way maker. You're going to be the one that watches. These titles are both for Christ. He is the restorer of our lives. He is the way maker, but then he anoints us to be restorers. He anoints us to walk in new ways and to help our family, to help the generations walk in new ways. I felt this now for almost 20 years, and a great consuming passion to reach young people for Christ. I believe the greatest revival in history is beginning, and it's going to be God awakening the hearts of a youthful generation. Yes, God's with the baby boomers and the great generation. God's with us all. But there is a global great awakening unlike anything we've ever seen as far as its scope and size and numbers. And God's after this generation of people that have been fatherless and motherless and broken, that have had everything fall apart. God's healing the foundations. God's restoring the paths. God's renewing the revelation of purpose for their lives. And God's going to do such amazing things. Come on, it's going to happen. Youth revival in your city. Youth revival in your family. God is after young people in this world. And he will not be denied his sons and daughters coming back to him. Isaiah 60 says this, lift up your eyes and see your sons and your daughters who have been scattered by slavery and oppression. They're coming from afar. They're coming back home. And I declare your sons and daughters are coming back to Christ, coming back to destiny, and coming back to relationship with you. I declare that God's healing your mothers and fathers. God's restoring, like Malachi said, I will heal. God says, I will restore the hearts of fathers to children, the hearts of children to fathers. God's doing an amazing thing. He's doing such an amazing thing. My fourth point is this. God always has an anointing to heal the pain of our past, but he has a double portion anointing on the promise of our future. God always has an anointing to heal the pain and trauma of our past, but he has a greater double portion anointing for the promise of our future. This is seen in the story when the boys came to, these little boys came to Jacob. And so Jacob has these beautiful young boys before him. And so as they come before Jacob, Jacob is blind. But what his physical eyes couldn't see, his spiritual eyes saw. It's amazing that God will almost always grant us an increased capacity in one part of our life when we have a decreased capacity in another part of our life. So he's spiritually seeing, even though his natural eyes are dim and he's blind. And so he's going to release this great blessing upon his grandchildren. And Joseph brings the boys and he puts the older son Manasseh in front of Jacob's right hand and the younger son Ephraim in front of Jacob's left hand, that Manasseh would get the double portion, the greater blessing. And then Joseph politely and appropriately and reverently bows his head praying. But as he does, the old man, Jacob, crosses his hands, crisscrossed his hands. And he puts the double portion anointing on Ephraim and the lesser anointing, still great, upon Manasseh. And he prayed this prayer and he shifted their birth positions, their inherited positions. And there's so much in this. Manasseh, his name means to forget. And when he was born, Genesis chapter 41, Joseph said this: God has made me forget all my toil and all the pain of my family. And so there was an anointing in his journey that God gave Joseph to be able to forget the incredible trauma of being betrayed by his brothers, being a slave, being a prisoner, being forgotten. All that he had been through, God had made him forget. Now here's what God promised me as a young man 22 years ago, as a younger man 22 years ago, when Mary and I had gone through great personal trauma, our church had gone through a public scandal, and things were as tough as they can be in the ministry. Our story was as bad as church stories can get. And the Lord said to me, because I was in a serious manic and clinical and suicidal depression, and the Lord said to me, Michael, would you like the pain you feel to go away? And I said, yes, Lord, I would. And he said this to me: if you will forgive the people that have hurt you, I will make you forget the pain they've caused you. That's the story of Manasseh. Well, the fast forward in my story, I forgave people, and God did. He made me forget by healing the pain. Once the pain was gone, the memory of trauma, the enduring quality of sorrow was forgotten. And so Manasseh, there is an anointing I declared over you, my dear friends, whether you're young or old, that God's anointing you with a Manasseh anointing to forget the pain. I invite you to do what God invited me to do, to forgive the people that have hurt you, so God can make you forget the pain they've caused you. In this moment, as the old man put his blessing of double portion on the youngest son, Ephraim, it's very strategic and it gives us so much revelation, because Ephraim's name means double portion fruitfulness. Double portion fruitfulness. And Joseph said, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the idea is God didn't just give him a breakthrough. He gave him a double portion breakthrough. And so Ephraim, their birth position was just right, because you can't be fruitful to the dimension you're called to until you're forgiving. When you forgive, God heals you. And when God heals you, the fruitfulness he's called you to can resume and be restored. So he put the hand of double portion blessing on Ephraim. And that's the promise. Here's the promise to us. There is always a greater anointing on your future than on your past. Yes, my friend, God will heal you of everything negative, every hurtful experience in your past. But that's not the end of your story. I declare the same God that's healing your heart from brokenness, from fearfulness, from the pain and injury of people and problems, that the same God that does that is anointing your future with a double portion anointing. So there's so many revelations here. One of them is That if the devil's really hurt your past and you've been through difficult things, there's a prophecy in that of how great God's going to make your future. Isaiah says it like this in Isaiah 61. God's saying to hurting people, instead of shame, I'm going to give you double honor. I'm going to give you double blessings of a good thing in the exact spot where the enemy's done a bad thing. God loves to do his very best in our lives where the enemy has done his very worst. Instead of shame, you'll have double honor. Instead of confusion, you shall rejoice in your inheritance. Therefore, in the land, a portion of the kingdom of God to us, they shall possess double, double, double. And so God says to us, like Ephraim receiving the double portion blessing upon his head from his grandpa Jacob, God's anointing your future. I declare it in Christ's name. Your best is yet to come. I declare that these next years are going to be outrageously fulfilling and fruitful. That God's healing you. You have to let God heal your past so God can unveil the promise of your future. There is no double portion tomorrow until you've received a healing from your pain from the past. You can't fully experience and express the great things God has for your future until you've escaped the pain of your past. And the way that we escape the pain is by forgiving people that put us there and allowing God's love to heal us and to transform us. That's what God will do for every single one of our lives, because he loves us so much. His faithfulness cannot fail. And yet he's a good God, and that his goodness is contending for the promise of our future. God always has a greater anointing upon our future. Zechariah said this about the promise of God to people that have gone through loss. Zechariah 9 says, return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. What a great sentence. For even today, declares the Lord, I will restore double to you. I will restore double. I will restore Ephraim. I'm going to put a double portion of anointing. If there's been some real turbulent and difficult losses, if there's been generational pain, if there's been years or months of hardship, if you're going through right now one of the greatest storms you've ever been through, I'm sorry you're going through this. And I'm praying for the Manasseh grace of a healing God to make you forget the pain that you've endured. But I want to give you this promise that I hope forms a prison of hope. What a great sentence. In your heart that says this: there's going to be a double portion restoration. Even today, God says, I will restore double to you. Wow. Double to you. In the book of Job, God said to Job, and in fact, Job's story only lasted about 18 months. The horrific losses, his wealth stolen, his family afflicted, his health even for a season enduring hardships. But we think the chronological length of that time was only about 18 months. So he went through 18 months of hell, just really as bad as life can be. And then God turned it around. Here's what the Bible says in Job 42:10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now, think about that. He lost everything, but that wasn't the end. The end was God wrote a great ending. Give God the chance to write a good ending to your story. If it's not good yet, it just means God's not done yet. Don't let the devil tell you that things that have left your life can never be brought back to your life. Don't believe the lies of the enemy that God can't, like Job, restore to you double and give you back. Mary and I, beautiful Mary and I, have seen God do this in our lives, our family, our story. And if God could do it for Michael and Mary Maiden, he can do it for you. If God can do it for Job, if God can do it for Zechariah and Isaiah, if God can do it for Ephraim in the Bible, if God can do it for all of these people, for Hannah as she cried out to God, for Elijah as he asked for a double portion, the God that loves to give us double for our trouble, the God of a double portion inheritance and blessing, is calling out your name saying, you know what, I'm going to crisscross things. Yeah, I'm going to heal you from what your past has done to you. I'm going to heal you from what people have done to you. I'm going to heal your heart from what the devil has done to you. But that's not the end. And then I'm going to put a double portion blessing on your future. And I'm going to give you double for your trouble. That's God's promise to you. I boldly declare it to you, my dear friends. I'm very honored and humbled that you would watch today's service. Thank you for listening. God bless you and your family. In Jesus' name.